In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the complaints you hear from Christians this time of year is that Christmas is just too commercial, and it's too secular, and it starts way too early. And don't even get me started on the people who celebrate Christmas without acknowledging Christ at all. Everything seems to be about the parties and the presents without any reverence for the main focus of Christmas, the incarnation of our Lord Christ, the Son of God taking on your flesh to save you. Santa Claus gets more attention than Jesus. Well, maybe we can change this by understanding where the legend of Santa Claus comes from and the actual historical basis of who he is. Most of you have heard of Santa Claus being referred to as Saint Nick or Saint Nicholas. And in fact, that's where the name comes from. Santa Claus is a corrupted form of the Dutch for Saint Nicholas, Sinterklaas. So the Santa Claus of today has become the stuff of fairy tales and Thomas Nast drawings and Coca-Cola ads and Clement Moore poems. But St. Nicholas was a very real person who lived in the early 300s. Today, December 6th, is the appointed day on which Bishop Nicholas of Myra is commemorated in the church. Nicholas was born into a wealthy family in what is now southern Turkey. He devoted himself to the church, and when Nicholas inherited his family's wealth after his parents died of the plague when he was young, he used it to show compassion to those around him. And as Bishop of Myra, he saw to it that the church worked to care for the needy. His selfless giving of gifts, especially to the needy and to children, is part of what formed the tradition of Santa Claus. The most famous story of St. Nicholas tells of a man in Myra who had three daughters, but didn't have enough money to provide them with suitable dowries so that they might be married. And if they couldn't marry, it was likely that they would end up as prostitutes. As bishop, St. Nicholas didn't want that to happen. He wanted to help, but he didn't want to draw attention to himself. So on three successive nights, Nicholas went to the man's home and threw a bag of gold, most probably his own, through an open window. One bag of gold for each daughter, each bag enough for the necessary dowry. And when this story moved to the colder regions of northern Europe and Asia, Nicholas was portrayed as dropping the bags of gold down the chimney. There are nearly endless accounts of Nicholas stepping in to help others. There are three men who were falsely accused of a crime and sentenced to death, but Nicholas intervened and was able to gain their release and give them their lives back, literally by stepping in front of the executioner's sword. And in so many of these stories, the number three keeps popping up in reference to St. Nicholas. Three daughters without a dowry, three falsely accused men, three sailors rescued from drowning. And it's fitting, because Nicholas was a defender of the Trinitarian faith, one who proclaimed the only true God, who is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nicholas was one of the bishops at the Council of Nicaea, which met in 325 and defended and confirmed the teaching that Jesus is both true God and true man, of the same substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. And we confess that line as part of a statement of faith in the Nicene Creed. Another bishop, the heretic Arius, taught that Jesus was not of the same substance as the Father, that the Son of God was a created being, God-like, but not true God. And after much hemming and hawing, the Council of Nicaea roundly rejected that heresy. It reaffirmed the scriptural position that Jesus is both fully divine and fully human in one undivided person, true God, from eternity. Nicholas was a defender of that faith. Faith in Christ, the Son of God, as the only Savior from sin and from death and from the devil. Nicholas preached Jesus, baptized people into Jesus, forgave people's sins in the name of Jesus, and fed them with the life-giving body and blood of Jesus. This is the real Saint Nicholas. He wasn't a Santa Claus taking attention away from Jesus. He was a preacher who drew everyone's attention to Jesus. He didn't make a list and check it twice because he knew that his people were both naughty and nice, sinners and saints, all at the same time. And all of them desperately needed Christ's forgiveness and mercy. The love of Christ was shown through Nicholas's preaching and life. And we recall his generosity tonight because that ultimately draws your attention to the infinitely more generous love that he first received from Almighty God. It was that love of God that worked through Nicholas in his life. Nicholas sacrifices and gives of his own resources to save three daughters. And isn't that what Jesus did for you? He gave himself for you to rescue you from eternal violation by death and the devil. He redeemed you, as a small catechism says, not with bags of gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. That is your dowry for the eternal wedding feast to come. Nicholas literally stepped in front of the descending blade, risking his own name and reputation and life. And that's what Jesus did and still does for you. He stood on his cross between you and the infinite void of eternal death and kept you from having to suffer that unending punishment. And even now, Jesus still stands before the Father, speaking in your defense, responding to every one of Satan's charges against you with his own blood and his own righteousness. And so through Christ, you are set free to be the people of God. The same love of Christ that was at work in Saint Nicholas is at work in you. In your baptism, you are crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in you and through you, as he did through Saint Nicholas. Christ works in you so that his love, which has been shown to you, might spill over to others. In giving of yourself, in giving of gifts, not so that you can feel good about it, not so that you can draw attention to yourself, but giving that is anonymous and entirely for the good of others is like a bag of gold sailing through an open window in the dark of night. It's a fine tradition for someone to give an anonymous gift and say that it's from Saint Nicholas. That kind of gift is given in a spirit that reflects the love of Christ, as Saint Nicholas did. And ultimately, it seeks to give glory not to yourselves, but to God the Father, who truly is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every gift that you give is a sign of that greatest gift of all, the Christ child, given to you almost anonymously, noticed only by shepherds that night, recognized and received only by a few throughout his life, but hidden within the wrapping of his humanity dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is love in the flesh for you. There is no greater gift than that. That is the ultimate gift that Saint Nicholas sought to give. So, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. If you don't believe in the existence of Saint Nicholas, you might as well not believe in the existence of Mary, or Joseph, or the shepherds, or even the wise men. Sure, you won't fight him sliding down your chimney, but like all saints, like all believers who have gone before us, Saint Nicholas celebrates with us whenever we gather for the divine service. For in Christ's presence dwell the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, all of the saints and believers who've gone before us, even Saint Nicholas, all partaking of the same feast that we now enjoy as a foretaste. Thank God that Saint Nicholas lived, and thank God that he lives forever, because just like you, he was baptized into Christ and believed in the one who lived, died, and rose for us all. Amen.